Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, PJEFC, and welcome to all of you here, brothers and sisters, and to those joining us online. Thank you for tuning in. It's such a privilege to join you on your Mission Sunday. My name is Philip. Thank you for inviting us. As Pastor Melissa has said, you are familiar with OM probably through our ships, but as you've seen in that video, OM's work extends beyond ships. Our mission is to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers amongst the least reached all over the world. And to this end, we partner with the church worldwide, including PJEFC. So thank you. Thank you for your ongoing partnership with OM over the years. You have prayed with us, you prayed for us, you've given generously, and you've even sent those from amongst your midst to serve with us. But most of all, thank you for your ongoing participation in God's mission around the world. Even just listening to your announcements, it's so encouraging to see how you are serving the nations at your doorstep and beyond. And not just serving them, you've included them as your own community. So thank you, PJEFC, for what you're doing in God's mission. I'm not here alone. Please let me introduce a few others with me. My wife, Soo Kim, is with me. Can you stand up, Soo Kim? Soo Kim and I serve East Asia, as Pastor Melissa said. I also want to welcome and introduce to you our OM Malaysia team who are here. Can you please stand up? They are represented by our national director, the tough-looking guy there, Joseph, Joel, his son, Color, and Wan Lee, and I think Kenneth is here as well. Kenneth is volunteering with us. Kenneth from PJEFC. Wow. Please do visit our table later on. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to help you discover more about the work we do. Many of you may be familiar with OM's founder, George Verwer. And George has also preached here in PJEFC before. And you would also know that George, just last April, was promoted to glory. He returned back home to his Creator, our Creator, finishing his race well. George inspired so many people around the world. If you remember George, he wore this jacket, this global jacket that had like a world map on it whenever he preached. Did you know that whenever he traveled, he would take off this jacket and put it on the seat in front of him, whether it's a plane or a train or a bus or a car. And he used the jacket to pray for the nations. Wow, talk about redeeming time. George also made a lot of people laugh. He had a really strange, in-your-face kind of humor. I recall a fundraising event where they were auctioning one of his global jackets. And then when he was sold, and you know the final large sum was announced, you know, he went up to the mic and said, "Okay, now let's see how much we can get for my underwear." Yeah, that was George. But I think what most of us love about George's life and testimony was his vulnerability and openness. He often preached about his own weaknesses, his own mistakes, but passionately highlighting the grace of God. We give glory to God for the life of George and celebrate the impact he has had on the kingdom of God. And so, what better way to celebrate George today? He was passionate about the impact of good books and how they could make Jesus known to people and how they could build up Jesus followers everywhere. So in celebration of that, on your Mission Sunday, why not have a special book promotion? We have a couple of George books today available: Messiology and Confessions of a Toxic Perfectionist. Sound interesting, huh? Well, these two books are available through a free will donation. And the proceeds from this donation will go towards OM Malaysia's Send the Hope project, which will benefit, as we've seen in that video, the work that is happening in the Mekong region, and also Dulos Hope, where Pastor Ruth is presently serving. Dulos Hope is our latest ship. So do pick up a book, give a free will donation towards that. Another thing that is available is the Kids Prayer Adventure book, an ideal Christmas gift, a great resource for families to get your kids praying for missions, and great ministry tool even in children's ministry. So I understand that we have a special promotional price if you buy 5 of these, and there's even a free gift while stocks last. So please head on to our tables later and have a look. Speaking of ships, we have 2 ships in ministry right now. You may be familiar with the Logos Hope. That's right now in Madagascar. And we also have, Dulos Hope, which is in Bangkok, where Ruth is serving on board right now. This is the ship that Soo Kim and I joined. It no longer exists. It's now scrap metal or part of some building. It's called the Logos 2. And, you know, the Logos 2 took us to far and wide places, some places so far away that they haven't even seen like a live Chinese person. And I remember standing up in a church somewhere in the Caribbean and introducing myself as, "Hi, I'm Philip." And then you can see all these faces looking a bit confused, like, name, Western, face, Chinese. A bit confused. But after the service, quite a number of people came up to me and spoke to me and started calling me Bruce or Jackie. So it's not just life-changing, name-changing too. It was really funny, it's real. Anyway, from books and ships, let's move on to boats and fishes and fishing. Can I get a show of hands? How many of you enjoy fishing here? Anybody? Oh, I see 2 hands there. Okay, I see some, right? Yeah, thank you. I like fishing too, but my kind of fishing is a bit different. It usually takes place in a supermarket or in a seafood restaurant. So different kind of fishing. But when we look at fishing today, we're looking at a passage that might be familiar to you. Jesus performs an amazing fishing miracle, and he calls his disciples to follow him, a bunch of fishermen. Now, this passage is also familiar to me personally, because it is in this passage that God spoke to me way back in 2004 as I was struggling with my life, and I heard God's invitation to step into full-time mission work. But you know, when things are familiar to us, it may not always be a good thing, because it gets in the way, right? Sometimes we think we know something well, but we might miss out something fresh or something new from the Lord. So as we gather around God's Word today, please join me in prayer that God may position our hearts, our heads, our hands to receive something fresh from Him. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You around Your Word, recognizing that Your Word is powerful. And Your Word comforts, transforms, challenges, and changes. Lord, we ask for something fresh from You, for each of us this day. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to You, what You're saying, and fill us with Your grace to receive and Your courage to act in response. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is at the Lake of Gennesaret, also the same as the Sea of Galilee. And at this point of his ministry, he's becoming quite famous. Maybe not as much as Coldplay, but famous. In chapter 4, we read about Jesus teaching in synagogues, and people say, wow, this guy power, huh? He casts out demons, he heals many, he's even healing the mother-in-law of Simon. And news about Jesus spreads across each village in the region. Crowds are searching for him, and he's preaching all over in the different synagogues throughout Judea. So Jesus is becoming quite famous during this time. And we see crowds follow him to the lake, and they are pressing in on him to hear him preach. You know, I told my wife the other day, this was probably Jesus' first press conference. Warning, I tend to joke sometimes, but please know, I don't mean to be disrespectful of Scripture. I just like to read it with a bit of humor. Okay, so if it's funny, please feel free to laugh. If it's not funny, please also laugh. Because my wife stopped laughing quite a while back. Nowadays, she just bows her head in prayer and shakes it, you know, like that. So glad she didn't do that when I proposed. Anyway, back to Jesus at the lake. As the crowd presses in on him, he sees two boats by the shore and fishermen washing their nets. And we will see Jesus taking three steps with Simon that will transform Simon's life forever. Three steps into God's mission. By the way, I love your four P's. Do you remember your four P's? You want to say it with me right now? Let's see who remembers it. You play it every Sunday service, right? So you should know it by now. You can say it in your sleep. The people of God. Oh, am I alone? Sorry. Proclaiming the word of God in prayerful dependence of the Holy Spirit, and doing so, persevering step by step. The part that stands out for me the most is persevering step by step. All are important, but that one stands out for me because that's a statement that keeps it real. Living faithfully for Jesus in our world today isn't easy. It was never easy. It is a journey of perseverance, step by step, following Jesus daily and being transformed by his power, step by step. So we will zoom in today on Simon's step-by-step journey with Jesus. So right at the beginning, we see Jesus stepping into Simon's boat and asking him to put it out a little. So Simon steps in with him. They both go out into the water. Jesus sits in the boat and teaches the crowd. Simon becomes a captive audience, if you think about it. But I'm not so sure whether he was captivated by the message. Perhaps he had other things on his mind. Wash the nets, go home, makan, talk to the wife, go to sleep, press repeat. And maybe some of us are living those kind of lives. We've got a routine. Now this guy spoiled my plan lah. But okay lah, must give in lah. After all, he healed my mother-in-law, right? If I don't give, then what would other people say? So step one is stepping in with Jesus. For Simon, Jesus stepping into his boat might have seemed like an unwanted interruption or an untimely inconvenience. But this was more than just a boat ride. This was an invitation. Jesus stepping into Simon was a crossing of a boundary. Jesus was stepping into his world, into his thoughts and feelings, into his reality, his joys and pains, his questions, his longings. And we see Jesus encountering Simon in this familiar place and then inviting him to something new. Interruption, inconvenience, or invitation? I spent 6 years working in a prestigious law firm in KL. It was a great job, great prospects, enjoyed it. But one day I woke up feeling a deep sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction with how my life was going and how I was living it. And you know, as this feeling grew and grew, I asked others to pray with me. And on Mother's Day 2004, God spoke powerfully through this passage to me. Philip, step in, push out. He encountered me in my familiar place, but it would mean an interruption to my legal career, and it was very inconvenient. Interruption and inconvenience, or an invitation. Step in with Jesus would involve stepping in to a relationship. A new relationship with Jesus. Up until that point, for Simon, Jesus was the guy who healed his mother-in-law, perhaps, was the famous preacher he had heard about. But now Jesus is in his boat, and his life was about to change. Stepping in was Simon stepping in with Jesus into a collaboration, using his own resources, his strength, and time for Jesus' purposes. This fishing boat, familiar to Simon for fishing, was now being repurposed for teaching. And so we see Jesus taking Simon out for more than fishing. At this point, I'd like to just ask a few questions and maybe have you reflect on them. How has God encountered you in your familiar place? Where you study, in your family, in your workplace, in your recreation spaces. How is He catching your attention through the interruptions that are inconvenient? Or is there an invitation behind them to a new level of relationship, a new level of collaboration? Or how is God inviting you to repurpose your familiar places and resources for His use alone? Think about that. A familiar place, an invitation. So let's move on. Eventually, Jesus finishes his press conference from Simon's boat and makes an unusual request to him. Simon, let's go deeper and let's go fishing. Nani? We hear reluctance in Simon's first response. Master, Simon's still trying to show respect. We fished the whole night and we caught nothing. I think Simon was a bit reluctant at this point. Why is this guy telling me to do my job? I know this lake. I know when and where to do it, how, what time. I'm also closing shop, now I must open shop again. And yet he continues, but at your word, I will let down the nets. From more than fishing, Simon and Jesus go deeper for more fishing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And then the miracle happens. Bumper catch. They call for more help. The boats were full and began to sink. And from washing empty nets on the shore, now their nets were filled. One might say that following Jesus' instruction increased Simon's net worth. Well, free investment tip there. Badums. Yeah, you can laugh, yeah. Simon was mind blown, and he responded, I need to buy a bigger boat, a bigger net? No, hardly. He falls at Jesus' feet, at his knees, and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Notice this change of tone. Early on, it was Master, and now it's become Lord. And I don't think at this stage he really knew Jesus was the Messiah, because later on in the Gospels, he would confess that. And after his resurrection, he would have a full understanding of Jesus as the Son of God. But at this point, "Oh Lord," was more likely Simon recognizing he was in the presence of holiness, that God was at work through Jesus in this moment. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So step one, stepping in. Step two was step deeper with Jesus. And Simon responded to Jesus to go even deeper. And this involved doing something that defied logic, his expertise and his experience. And sometimes, you know, stepping deeper with Jesus might involve some pretty unusual stuff. I'm journeying with a brother who's serving in a country where believers are persecuted. And last year, his father was imprisoned on false charges. They targeted him because of his faith. The family struggled to find legal help to get him released, but it was unsuccessful. And the prison cell he was put in was so packed with 40 other men that when they slept at night, it was just shoulder to shoulder inside the cell. And he shared this testimony from his father. One night, his father was awakened, and God told him to pray. Okay, pray, can. But God told him, the Holy Spirit was prompting his heart to pray aloud in a cell with 40 sleeping inmates of a different faith to him. Some pretty unusual stuff. Well, his father obeyed and prayed. Next day, a few prisoners came up to him and said they heard him praying. And they asked him, "How is it you can pray to God that way?" And this gave him an opportunity to share about his relationship with God. Shortly after, a few of them came to him to ask them to pray that they'll be released, because this was a poor country. If you're in there for offense and no one has enough bail to get you out, you just stay in prison for a long, long time. So they asked for prayer. And so he prayed for them. The very next day, they came rejoicing. They received news that they will be released. Wow. Blew his mind. Unusual stuff. But this gave him an opportunity then to share with them the full gospel. Well, the good news is after about 51 days, my friend's father was released. And he continues to serve the Lord right now in their country. "But at your word, I will let down the nets. But at your word, I will pray aloud. But at your word, I will share the gospel message." Stepping deeper with Jesus is stepping deeper into greater trust. Even if it sounds crazy. "But at your word." Stepping deeper with Jesus will involve greater collaboration. Yeah, I will let down the nets. I will trust you with my reputation, with my resources, with my future. I will trust you. You know, Jesus understands your fears, each of our fears, and the reasons that hold us back from stepping in. He understands. But do we trust his word to respond, "Lord, I will"? But I think the next point is particularly significant. Stepping deeper with Jesus is going to change how you see Jesus. You won't see him the same anyway, and Simon didn't. But when you see Jesus differently, you start to see yourself differently in light of that. And so Simon, catching a glimpse of God's power at work in that moment, realized that he was in the presence of holiness, and that convicted him of his own sinfulness. Wow. Back to Jesus and Simon. Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Step in, step deeper, step out with Jesus. Astonished at what they had experienced, Simon and his buddies respond to Jesus to step out of their boats and into his bigger plan. You know, stepping out with Jesus can be scary. It means crossing a boundary out of what you are familiar with, away from your familiar place, what you have known and depended on for most of your life. There are going to be losses and goodbyes and sacrifice. And sometime next year, somebody is going to step out of this boundary and go to Adelaide for a future that is uncertain. There will be goodbyes and loss and sacrifice. Step out with Jesus. You know, when you step out with Jesus, it's an invitation to new courage. But this courage is not one that is found in self. It is a courage that is from who leads the way. It is stepping out to follow, persevering step by step, surrendering control of one's own direction and ambition. When you follow, someone is leading. And it's stepping into a new purpose. And it might mean an invitation to exchange fishing in order to go more than fishing. Simon and his buddies would no longer catch fish that would die and be eaten. Now they would be drawing men and women into the kingdom of God, into a living hope with their Creator. So since 2005, I exchanged lawyering for more than lawyering. And God has taken me on a journey into developing people, discipling through training, mentoring, and coaching. Now, I'm not saying that all of us have to step out that way. Because for some of my lawyer buddies, stepping out meant remaining in lawyering, but bringing more and more fragrance of Jesus into their profession. Remaining in lawyering, in politics, in entertainment, in the arts, in business, and bringing more fragrance of Jesus so that people would find this living hope. Well, let me share an impact story from some of the ministries we are involved in. One of the leadership programs that we designed and introduced in a Himalayan nation began to multiply and grow, and they started doing it in so many different villages. And one highlight from last year was this testimony by one of the participants in the program. And he's an ex-soldier. And he went overseas to work to send money back to his family. And when he returned home, he found out that his wife had been unfaithful to him, and it just broke his heart. He was so angry. Now, ex-soldier, he planned to kill his wife. But in that moment, by the grace of God, someone shared the gospel with him, and he testifies that, "Through the gospel, I found a best friend in Jesus." But his pain continued, and he still had plans to kill his wife. Isn't that the grace of God? He's just working in us step by step. And then he attends this leadership program. And by the end of it, he testified that God had changed his heart, that he has now forgiven his wife and he doesn't want to kill her. It blows my mind. We designed a leadership training program. We didn't design a therapy to curb murderous tendencies. But God had other plans to do that. And God may have other plans for your fishing or for your more than fishing. Well, fast forward 3 years, Simon follows Jesus step by step, receiving his teaching, walking on water, sinking, getting his name changed to Peter, witnessing and doing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing Jesus feed thousands of people, people being raised from the dead, seeing Jesus transfigured, confessing Jesus as Messiah, step by step, following Jesus. And he follows step by step until Jesus is arrested. And in that courtyard, Simon Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And in that single moment, his world is destroyed. Suddenly, do not be afraid becomes, I'm very afraid. Suddenly, you will catch man becomes, man is going to catch me. Suddenly following Jesus meant I stopped following. And Jesus is crucified and buried. And as we sang earlier, he is resurrected, appearing to his disciples and Simon. I don't know what went through Simon's mind, but they go back to Galilee, and there's uncertainty. And what's going to happen next? When are we going to see him next? What are his plans? Did we really experience that? And so more than fishing, I know it's going to be hard to read this, but in John 21, 1 to 19, let me summarize. We read that Simon Peter goes back to his familiar place, the Sea of Galilee, and he goes fishing with his buddies, but guess what? All too familiar. He catches nothing all night. And Jesus stands by the shore, calling out to them. They don't recognize him. And he tells them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. They do it, and the miracle happens again. Then they recognize it's Jesus. It is the Lord! And Simon Peter jumps into the water and runs towards Jesus. And they have breakfast. And we read later that Jesus tenderly and yet firmly restores Peter, Simon Peter, by asking him 3 times, "Do you love me, Simon?" And each time Simon replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep, follow me." Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Feed my sheep, follow me. And so, from Simon Peter stepping back into his familiar place, he steps forward with Jesus. And Jesus goes back to heaven, and the promised Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost and fills him. And Peter, now energized, follows Jesus step by step until the end of his life. And today, you and I here, perhaps some of us, like Simon Peter, may have stepped in, stepped deeper, and stepped out with Jesus, only to find ourselves in a stuck place. Maybe there have been disappointments in ministry, or discouragements, or doubt. Maybe there's been burnout, or failure, or shame. Are you in that familiar place where it all started, where it all began? But it feels different because now that, like Simon Peter, there's this burden you carry. Brothers and sisters, please be comforted. There is grace for you today, just like there was for Simon Peter. Receive the grace from God to step forward. And so stepping forward would mean stepping forward from a stuck place into a fresh season with a renewed covenant of love and a commission to join Jesus again for more than fishing. Would you respond to him? We go back to the beginning at the lake where we saw fishing boats by the shore, empty nets being washed, and tired fishermen frustrated with no fish. Then boats are pushed out a little and then deeper, and then nets are let down and then filled with fish until breaking. Ordinary fishermen are astonished, convicted, and receive fresh courage to step in, to step deeper, to step out with Jesus into a new purpose. What about your boats and your nets? How are they being used today? What needs to be pushed out a little? What needs to be pushed out deeper? What needs to be let down? What needs to be let go? We live in a troubled world. I don't have to say more. But rest assured, God is still on his mission to catch men and women and bring them into his kingdom. Each of us may be at different stages in God's mission, at different steps. And God is powerfully at work in each of these steps today. Not one step is better than the other. Trusting and following him is what matters. So as the worship team, they were going to sing us a song called The Commission. And just reflect on the words. Don't have to sing it. But I'll invite you to also reflect on some of the things we've heard this morning. What is God's invitation for you today? How will I go and tell the world about Jesus? My world, my context today. What does living faithfully for Jesus mean for you? And what is the next step he's inviting you to? Will you hear his words? Do not be afraid. You will. And respond as Simon did. At your word, Lord, I will. So take that time to reflect and respond to the Lord on your own as we listen to this song.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.